Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I'm here today because they're selling my house today. My house was in bankruptcy, so I'm down here to see if anything can be done.
Homeowners are looking for help to stop foreclosures. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, September 30th, 2010. I'm LaTanya Kirkland. Republican gubernatorial candidate Meg Whitman spent another day defending herself against allegations that she knowingly hired an illegal immigrant as her housekeeper. Laura Galanter has the story.
Meg Whitman's former housekeeper and her lawyer, Gloria Allred, today released a document they said is proof that Meg Whitman knew all along that she hired an undocumented worker. This comes after Nikki Diaz-Santillan claimed yesterday that Whitman fired her once she decided to run for governor.
The truth is that Nikki was fired because Meg Whitman was afraid that she would be exposed as an employer who knew that she was employing an undocumented worker for many years.
Allred produced a letter allegedly mailed to Whitman's husband from the Social Security Administration saying the housekeeper's name and her Social Security number didn't match up. Whitman says she hired her maid of 9 years through a service that checked employees' legality. She says she fired Nikki Diaz-Santillan after she confessed to Whitman she was in the country illegally, but Whitman never reported her to immigration officials. Throughout the campaign, Whitman has come down hard on employers who hire undocumented workers. Here's what she said in Tuesday night's debate against Jerry Brown.
We do have to hold employers accountable for hiring only documented workers.
Whitman today denied ever seeing the document, and she says the accusations are just politics at play. Politics or not, Whitman's situation isn't that unusual in California. Purit Hondanu-Sotelo is a USC sociologist.
The case is so typical of a story that goes on in California and around the country daily. It's only extraordinary because it involves the billionaire gubernatorial candidate.
Whitman hasn't gained ground with Latino voters, and this most recent episode could put her further behind. Jerry Brown's campaign didn't comment on today's development. Laurel Galanter, Annenberg Radio News.
Supporters of immigration reform gathered in MacArthur Park this morning to celebrate the introduction of a new immigration bill. Haley Fox has more.
The Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act calls for sweeping changes to the immigration system as a whole, from border patrol and enforcement to workplace requirements and the legalization process. The new bill aims to give undocumented immigrants more opportunity for success. Erica Lamelli, a bill supporter, says this is the answer they've been waiting for all year.
Legalization for students and farm workers is included, so that's very important for us. Just keeping families united, that's a key part of it.
This bill comes on the heels of Meg Whitman's most recent public scandal over hiring an illegal immigrant to work as her housekeeper. Jorge Mario Cabrera, a representative for the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, says Whitman's housekeeper is not the only one affected by poor work conditions.
The Meg Whitman situation has to do with labor rights, and it has to do with the fact that this woman felt that she was unable to go to anybody and have her rights protected because she's undocumented. This is a perfect example of why we need immigration reform.
Evelyn Miller, a board member at the California Coalition for Immigration Reform, said she wants to see already existing immigration laws enforced. Miller has not read the new bill yet, but doesn't support Menendez's past immigration efforts.
Menendez identifies with foreigners of his ethnic group rather than identifying with his fellow U.S. citizens.
Multiple ethnic groups gathered this morning at MacArthur Park. Representatives from Korean, Mexican, and Jewish communities all spoke in support of the new immigration reform bill. Because of the upcoming lame duck session, they will have to wait until November to see a verdict. This is Haley Fox, Annenberg Radio News.
Now!
What do we want? Immigration reform!
Why do we want it?
Now!
Thousands
Thousands of people lined up by the LA Convention Center this morning to find out how to save their homes from foreclosure. NACA, a national mortgage company, sent representatives to give them advice. The corporation says many people spent the night waiting in line to get help. Rachel Lee asked homeowners how foreclosures have affected them.
I'm here today because they're selling my house today. Bank of America sold my loan to Condor when my house was in bankruptcy. So my house has been sold today, so I'm down here today seeing can anything be done.
Our interest rate is really, really high. Our interest rate is a little over 10%, and it's hard. It's hard. You still got to pay trash, light, water, gas, food, the kids, you know. And I'm doing everything I can, you know, to keep the house afloat. You know, I'm at the end of my resources, you know. I still haven't lost hope.
I'm here because I was here last year. I got a resolution and Bank of America didn't honor it. So I'm back again today. I'm really not very happy.
The process is very frustrating. We've been in a loan modification for 2 years. So we're hoping that it's going to end this weekend.
Prior to this, I went to an event in San Diego at the convention center. I said, I got more help from NACA than coming here to your guys' event, you know? I got more help because, you know, they're right there and they're not going to let something slip through the cracks like you guys will. So that's why I'm here, to try and save my house.
A march to the streets of Skid Row today marked the fourth anniversary of the LAPD's Safer Cities initiative. Protesters say the program unfairly targets and criminalizes Skid Row residents. Emily Frost reports.
Several dozen people gathered in front of police headquarters today to protest the Safer Cities initiative. The initiative, launched in 2006, added 50 extra officers to the Skid Row area, a presence that some downtown residents resent. Paul White of the Community Action Network says downtown gentrification was the key reason the city created the Safer Cities Initiative. He says police have barraged the homeless and residents with unnecessary citations.
What this amounts to is clearly intimidation tactics geared toward pushing people away from the central core of the city.
LAPD Lieutenant Shannon Paulson is in charge of the Safer Cities Initiative. She believes increased city attention to Skid Row means residents there get a chance at normalcy.
The same level of service and attention and concern that is given to the rest of the city needed to be given to the Skid Row area.
Paulson says the days of anything goes in Skid Row are over, and that police citations are more often than not aimed at connecting those in need with area service providers and not jail time.
That means that somebody doesn't get to defecate or blatantly deal drugs or engage in public displays of intoxication or fighting right outside their residence or their place of business. You or I wouldn't appreciate that going on. Neither should the people here.
But community activist Pete White wants people to consider the initiative's cost.
We cannot continue to mismanage very scarce resources by attempting to police our way out of poverty.
Both White and Lieutenant Paulson say the city needs more low-income housing. Community Action Network organizers are calling for a public review of the Safer Cities Initiative. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
Temperatures are slowly dropping in LA. Tonight will cool down a bit and we'll have partly cloudy skies with a low of 65. Friday we'll have partly cloudy skies with a high of 84. The weekend will be sunny with a high of 82 on Saturday and 75 degrees on Sunday. California's Senate race remains tight. Following yesterday's hour-long radio debate between Democratic incumbent Barbara Boxer and Republican Carly Fiorina, Benjamin Gottlieb talked to a Senate expert about the impact of the debate.
Coming into the California Senate race yesterday, Republican challenger Carly Fiorina trailed by 7 points. That's according to a Wednesday poll released by the Public Policy Institute of California. Christian Gross is a Senate expert and professor at USC. Gross says Fiorina must play against Boxer's liberal point of views to have any chance of making up the deficit come November.
I think she needs to probably present herself in a little bit more moderate way. She probably needs to attack Boxer more. She's doing it quite a bit. While Boxer has the edge, she's not exactly the most popular incumbent. She's certainly not the most popular.
Gross says Fiorina also has to fight through Boxer's attacks on her record as a CEO in Silicon Valley.
I think Boxer's attacks against Fiorina for her time as head of HP have been really effective, and Fiorina needs to somehow get past those attacks.
Gross says it's unlikely the debate will have a significant impact in the polls, but he did say that the country is ready for a change.
This year's a Republican-leaning year. Even in California, Democrats still are more likely to win, but being a Republican, while not an advantage for Fiorina, may not be the typical disadvantage that it often is.
This is the last scheduled debate between the two candidates. Benjamin Gottlieb, Annenberg Radio News.
The fight over global warming is heating up in California. Several years ago, California passed AB 32, a bill to decrease greenhouse emissions, but Proposition 23 on the November ballot would delay implementation of AB 32 until unemployment in the state drops to 5.5%. Stephanie Kaiser reports on the business view of Prop 23.
One of the charges in the campaign over Prop 23 is that it's being promoted by big business and big oil. But some business leaders believe the state needs to tackle global warming. Aubrey Stone is with the Black Chamber of Commerce. He's against Prop 23.
We only have one or two choices in this scenario. Either we remain in the lead, create more and better jobs, and be at the forefront of this, or we fall to the back of the pack and maybe just out of the race altogether.
Portraying Prop 23 as a tool of big oil is ridiculous, says Eric Eisenhammer of the Yes to 23 campaign.
You know, we're a coalition of over 300 businesses. It's a sleazy tactic, in my opinion.
The Yes campaign is getting money from big oil. Two Texas-based oil refinery companies, Valero and Tesoro, have given millions of dollars to the campaign. Recent polls show a dead heat with one-fifth of the California population still undecided. Stephanie Kaiser, Annenberg Radio News.
Today marks the 92nd day the state budget has been overdue. That means that schools across California have not received the funding they need. Chris Foy reports on what the budget stalemate in Sacramento means for schools in Los Angeles.
State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jack O'Connell and child care providers met Thursday at the Para Los Niños Family Learning Complex in downtown LA to urge legislators to pass a responsible budget, a budget that doesn't make deeper cuts to education.
I want to call upon the governor and the legislature to engage in round-the-clock negotiations and maintain the legislative support for child care funding and the CalWORKS programs that the majority in the legislature strongly is committed to. Working parents, our children, indeed all Californians, deserve a budget that invests in the future.
None of California's schools have been reimbursed by the state. Since October 1st, Para Los Niños Charter School has been running without $4.7 million owed to them by the state, funds that cannot be received until the budget is approved. Chancellor of California Community Colleges Jack Scott says that some college campuses have been forced into cutting some sections of classes by up to 20%. Some campuses are even turning away new high school graduates and the unemployed because they simply cannot accommodate them. O'Connell says many programs vital to children's education, including preschool and after-school programs, are at risk too. Especially for Tanya McMillan, a licensed child care provider based in Bellflower.
But because of this budget delay, I have been forced to give letters out to my parents to inform them that if the budget isn't signed, I'm going to have to shut my door.
A field poll released Tuesday found that voter approval of California's legislature is at its lowest in 27 years. 80% of survey respondents disapprove of the job that state legislators have been doing. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
Mexican muralist had a short but controversial stint in Los Angeles. A new exhibition of his work has opened at the Otter Museum, Siqueiros in L.A., Censorship Defied. Today I spoke with Museum Executive Director Jonathan Spaulding about the legacy of the mural artist's work and the inspiration for the show.
Well, the exhibition comes through really decades of inspiration that began in the late 1960s as the whitewash that was put over Siqueiros' mural, which is at El Pueblo, the old plaza of Los Angeles. The mural had been whitewashed immediately after its creation in 1932 by the city authorities, who were offended by the imagery, which was an indictment of U.S. imperialism in Latin America. But over the decades, that whitewash began to peel away. And in the late 1960s, the image was reappearing and in the community and with the leadership of Dr. Schiffer Goldman, who was an art historian, and Jesus Trevino, who was a filmmaker. there was a movement to preserve and restore the mural. So we thought the time was right to present this story and to pull all these elements together, or spin a whole sort of mythology and legend of Siqueiros in Los Angeles. So we thought it was a good opportunity to tell the story.
Siqueiros was politically active in Mexico in the Mexican Communist Party. Do you feel that he was bringing his politics from Mexico into the United States with these paintings, these murals?
Yes, absolutely. Siqueiros thought of his art and his politics as a single expression. They were not, you know, on one side and the other. And the medium that he chose, the form of expression he chose and the imagery he used was completely entwined with his political purpose.
What influence do you think Siqueiros and other historical mural artists have on current mural artists and Chicano artists, for that matter, in Los Angeles?
Well, we interviewed a lot of artists, and it was the most enjoyable aspect of producing the show, was to talk with contemporary artists about the legacy of Siqueiros, particularly artists who grew up with the Chicano movement, and really see him as a father figure, as somebody who enabled their identity as Chicano artists, and provided a vocabulary of a public art.
What has the reaction been to the exhibit, and what do you hope it will be?
Well, we've been thrilled. It's so fun to walk through with people and see them really moved by not only the work of Siqueiros, but the way his work has been translated into the contemporary art. And I hope that people come and see it, because it's really something special for the city of Los Angeles.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That was Jonathan Spalding of the Autry Museum. Governor Schwarzenegger signed two bills to crack down on human trafficking today. One of the bills allows courts to seize property where trafficking takes place. The other requires businesses to disclose how they make sure their products don't use slave labor. Schwarzenegger says the laws will keep California at the front of efforts to help victims of trafficking. I Care for Disadvantaged Kids sounds like a feel-good story, but sometimes things aren't so simple. Caitlin Parker has a story online at AnnenbergRadio.org. Now we check in with Candace Brain to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Find out why thousands of people lined up outside of the L.A. Convention Center today, and why Rahm Emanuel is stepping down. Also, how fans are reacting to Tony Curtis's death. Stay tuned for ATVN at 6 o'clock.
Great. Thank you, Candace. Looking forward to it. Meal programs for the elderly in Los Angeles may be getting a reprieve. The programs serve meals to homebound seniors and those in centers, but the lack of a state budget put their funding in jeopardy. Now Councilman Jose Huizar is announcing legislation to loan the program's money. He wants the city to provide $3.6 million in no-interest loans. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Julia Gabrick, Benjamin Capinos, Rachel Lee, Ryan Nunez, Stephanie Sherman, and Kyle Tabueno-Froli. Ariel Edwards-Levy is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm LaTanya Kirkland. Yeah.